everybody recording all the time? Good.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
You are not Incan. You are greater than the Gungans.
Not that I plan to turn this into a soundboard show. I just...
You did a great job last time, I will say. It wasn't over the top and also was purposefully comedic, I suppose.
Yeah, I just did the one, right? The
Gungan. The Gungan. I make a lot of sounds and I kind of make a fool of myself pretty frequently. So anything to accompany that is fine with me. Right. Speaking of comedic, I loaded up my all files thing on Mac. Like I go to Finder. I just loaded a Finder randomly.
Right.
To try and find, you were mentioning something, recordings or something like that. Or I was going to go somewhere. Doesn't matter. I loaded it up here. I'll copy this and send it. Let me find our window here.
I think in light of the bleed from my audio, I'm just going to, I don't have video on. You can't see me. Here, I'm just going to go like this. I'm going to talk like this the whole time.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Kind of like a, what's that dinosaur? The,
Newman. Shoot. Oh, yeah. Newman.
It's like, what are you saying?
Yeah. I loaded up.
It's not a sound effect show.
No, right. I loaded up Finder and Mace Windu showed up. Or Samuel L. Jackson showed up. And I don't know why.
Literally? Or, just on this. I see.
Just
not actually. He showed up in your room.
No, I wish. Gosh, that would be good. But this is the first file that was selected in Finder, which feels good. It's a 1500 by 1000 picture of Mace Windu. Why? Why do I have this?
May 22nd at 6:30. If only you tagged it properly.
Gosh. That'll
Who
be,
uses tagging in OS X? I don't know.
Flat
tagging?
No, flat folder system and just tags. That's the future, really, of file systems.
This isn't a tagging episode, but... Yeah, I don't know. Whenever they dedicate any amount of time to that on the keynote presentation stuff, it's like, and the color thing too. I don't know who has the patience or time to do that. I guess if you're doing a lot of projects with files, you might want to find everything that's yellow that you flagged with yellow. I don't
know. It would have to
your
be.
Coldplay, maybe?
Yeah, well. Thank you for that. It would have to be something where, like, if you have projects as a folder and then the files within the projects have some sort of relationship to each other, like, I don't know, something beyond just a title, I guess.
Because I can't think of a situation where I wouldn't just want a folder named contents for page one, contents for page two. Let's say if it's a website, so like in my world, why would I go through the, like... coloring everything page one and then you end up moving one and it's like, oh shoot, I forgot to change the color.
Or
tags even. I don't know. I guess I can kind of get tagging where if you had a whole bunch of drafts of an article that you're writing, multiple copies of the file maybe. But yeah.
Or if you needed to keep them in a place like Dropbox it was for, let's say, a client project, you shared it. You can put the client's name in there, but also keep most of their files locally, or I don't know. That's kind of the only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
Having two machines, having two operating systems here, Windows and Mac, sharing files between them. Like today, I tried to share an MP3 file between the two of them, and Windows does a really weird thing where it'll try to guess what the album art is. Kind of like iTunes used to do if you just would... you throw it into iTunes, right-click it, and say, find artwork, or whatever it was. Kind of the same equivalent of that, but with their regular music player, and it didn't grab the correct image, and it was strange. I would have preferred that it just didn't try, and it just sat there and said, this is an MP3 file with a kind of a borked ID3 tag. I'll play it, period. File systems, as much as I want to talk to you about technology and how we use it, there was something about the last episode that kind of, wow, this is going to get super meta. It kind of hit home for me. My own words hit home for me because
really impacted yourself.
We kind of had like a mini therapy session with each other about why we're keeping things. And I realized I said the word digital hoarder about 15 times. And that feels like the category that I'm embodying and totally a part of now. That's my tag for my life. So I don't know what to, I don't know whether or not I want to continue to discuss highly technical topics of like digital world stuff. Where does it go? Because it gets, for me, it starts to get too existential, and it doesn't really, the details don't matter. I don't care what your folder structure is inside of Google Drive necessarily, because it's so just what works for you. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what's right or wrong, or even tell you exactly how I do it, because it has no bearing on who's listening to this show.
Unless that's what the people want, I guess. We'll find out in...
Unless that's what the people want.
Stuffy Slack, high contrast, because... It felt like we got lost in the weeds a bit, the previous episode too, in less interesting to my ears discussion too, and like similar vibe, I think, to what you're saying is that... it's stuff that you could like discuss for 10 minutes over a beer or whatever, if you were so interested, but, I don't know that that's our calling.
Yeah.
our high contrast calling, as it were.
And I don't think
there medium contrast.
Yeah. There wasn't really anything different between the two of us, to the point of like, I completely disagree with you and I need to convince you that the way you're doing it is quite bad. And, yeah. Here's why.
As of yet, I don't think we've lived up to that premise.
No.
But this today could be the first time. We'll see. The other bit of follow-up, I was in Stuffy Slack, there's a little bit of some interesting discussion, I guess, following that. Folks were interested in sort of how they were backing up their documents and photos, especially. This is what's weird about recording the episode and then releasing it later, is it just does a weird time warp on my brain, and like especially editing it. So if I'm the one who's editing it or whatever, then I'm trying to remember. And also doesn't help if I forget which episode is my audio. So I was actually I spent 20 minutes trying to match up my audio from episode 5 with your audio from episode 6 and couldn't figure out why nothing was making sense. But there was enough like gaps between each of us talking that it kind of fit. So I was like, why did I say I'm talking about video games again and Kyle's talking about documents and like, what is going on? Why?
No.
Yeah. And you can't remember which one is like the most recent one. And so anyways, finally I figured it all out, which is why the audio was a little bit janky, because my audio actually didn't get recorded properly last time. Knock on wood or whatever, that it's all working this time. I do actually use, in addition to Google Photos, Flickr, may you almost rest in peace, Flickr. I use Flickr to back up my photos as well on iOS, just as a way of a second, third. Third, I guess, place to throw photos. I wouldn't advise that anymore because it feels like it's probably either about to be bought, sold, or discarded at some point. So that's all the follow-up. I guess just the backup recording audio was bad on my end. I apologize to any audio files out there.
For Flickr's sake, do you... Yeah, there you go. As I'm talking, just put... Chris is putting, I guess for the audio listeners, Chris is putting... his pinky on his right hand against his right brow and his pinky from his left hand on his left brow as if to be peeking through a wooden door. Here's Johnny style. So that he doesn't get any headphone bleed into the microphone.
Kyle doesn't like bleeding.
I don't. It's a blood thing. Past Kyle. I don't like it. For the Flickr side, are you doing any of the social parts of Flickr, or is it simply a backup?
Randomly. I forgot. I also have, every time I post a photo to Instagram, I can't remember even how this is working. If this, then that maybe, or it's something built into Flickr. Anyways, every time I post a photo to Instagram, I also get that gets posted to Flickr at the same time. Must be this than that. And so then occasionally I'll get like a fave on Flickr or whatever. But like there's people who do a really neat job of telling stories on Flickr with their photos or use it just like the U2 site I know uses it for just like dumping photos of concerts and then it's in an album and sorted and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of those two extremes. But rarely do people load up the Flickr app and, you know, just the way they do with Instagram, which is like, it's just for anybody who's around when Flickr was popular, it's kind of mind blowing that they missed the boat completely on mobile, because they had every opportunity to be Instagram before there was Instagram, but just kind of like pooped the bed, as it were.
Well, yeah. And they definitely tried, I think, at some point, once they did realize, like, oh, hey, we did that. There goes the boat. It's gone.
There's a picture of the boat.
Right. Here's a picture of the boat. Maybe we can just take it from a picture. They tried to be more on the like photographic side of it, like the 500 pixel side, or the like, this is where you put the nice photos. You can download the full versions. You can, I don't know. I don't know if there's editing, but they did say that they would support much larger photos, stuff like that. So I guess they tried to lean more into photogs, as I know they like to be called. Makes sense.
Photogs.
Yeah. I got a bit of follow-up for the Fire Safe that made its way into the little thumbnail for last week's episode.
Right.
So I opened the box not 30 minutes before this recording started here on Tuesday and pulled the Fire Safe out of its box, opened it up, realized it's actually smaller than an 8.5 by 11 letter sized piece of paper. So full size sheets will not fit in there flat, which is quite unfortunate. It was made for documents, but you need to, like, I don't know, roll them up like a scroll or something so that when archaeologists in the future find it, they think
Tom Hanks.
Yes. When Tom Hanks shows, when Nick Cage strolls into my house, my closet, and realizes that I used to store my papers in small little pencil-sized rolls, he'll be quite impressed, I think. So I opened up this box, shoved everything that I wanted to in there, and closed it up. In the middle of that, there was a set of keys, two keys that were inside the box, pulled them out, set them aside, and realized part of the way through that my cat enjoyed kind of just pawing at and clawing the keys a little bit. And I figured, okay, whatever. They're metal keys. They're not going anywhere. So I continue putting my, you can see where this is going. I continue putting my documents into the safe. I close the safe. I go to reach for those keys and they're gone. I searched everywhere for the cat. The cat did not have the keys. I looked where the cat was. The keys are gone. And to this moment, I don't know where they are. I don't know what to do.
For the audio listeners may have been thinking, like I was, hoping somehow that the way the story would have been even better is if the cat ended up inside the firebox locked with the keys somehow.
Yeah.
But I can see the cat is behind you, I'm assuming. There is a cat.
That one's upside down right now. Yeah, that's not the one.
Oh, okay. It was one of the imaginary ones.
Then. One of the ones that don't exist. Yeah. I don't think she ate it, but we'll see.
Every time I have a dog or cat might be nice. The kids would love that. Then I come across a story like this and I'm like, oh yeah, no, that's quite all right, actually. I get drunk with soundboard power, but
yeah.
I'm just going to throw one in just that doesn't even make any sense, just so that you have to edit it out.
I generally don't go around sniffing rock stars.
Okay.
Well, you two segue and follow up. Actually, last episode, we talked about the safe word for you. For folks this is your first episode. Last time, Kyle said something to the effect of...
We used to play snake under the table or under the desk at school. Did I just say I played with my snake under the desk?
So, Tassula and the Stuffy Slack came up with the idea that Kyle's a safe word for when his wife is demanding or requesting or just it's hour 4 or 5 of Clash Royale time, air quotes time, that he could tweet out the safe word snake. That's all he needs to send out. And that would be the notice that high contrast, the audience listeners need to intervene.
Mobilize, I believe. Mobilize. Yes.
Yeah.
What I should do is set up an if this then that recipe that triggers something where when I do tweet that out, it calls, I don't know who it calls, Ghostbusters, I guess. Call someone to show up. pizza somehow delivery.
Sets up like a video call right from your room, so we can see like, okay, what's the status?
Right.
Where is how heat deprived? You wouldn't be heat deprived in California. How food deprived? Maybe
food. We're short on food.
Water.
Water's kind of a plenty. I've got something called an ocean here in California.
Good.
I don't know what else. What else could I need? I guess just love, life, the pursuit of making my own choices as a human being. Not playing Clash Royale. I mean, it's taken over our lives to the point where a safe word is not out of the question. But I feel pretty good about the game. I don't have a single chest to open up right now. I have not played in the last at least 12 hours. It's making its way out of my life slowly, but surely.
And just wait until the next clan chest opportunity comes around. Because that seems to be what really fires up your wife.
Yep.
So
thankfully the safe is safe from the fire, but not me. So thanks to Sula for that suggestion of Snake.
And if there's any way for you to get inside the box in a real emergency, I guess we'll have to wait and see if it ever gets that bad.
It's like a Doctor Who situation.
Tweet from inside the box.
Yeah. Yep.
Last time I think I mentioned, maybe I didn't, I was going on a little trip, day trip, overnight trip with my oldest. And on the way there, he's discovered music. He loves listening to music, and he made himself a CD. He had on one of the songs in his CD was Bruno Mars. What's the song called? Uptown Funk.
Yeah.
And so then all of a sudden that I was just triggered that trigger warning that the morning show does a little riff on that, an edit as it were of that. And feel free to include that if you want later. But
sound?
Go.
Yeah. I got it. It's fine. The thing is, though, I could show this into the live stream right now, but what I've done is I've broken this up into is its own sound, so I can wait as long as I want.
Yeah, we figured that out the first time that we played this.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Up, down, funk you up. 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 I said up, down, funk you up. Up, down, funk you up. Up, down, funk you up. Up, down, funk you up.
Mm-hmm. Kenny,
before we get into up, down,
gosh,
up,
down, vote. Here you go, right? This is
what voice is that at the very top? Is that Yoda?
And as a part, one of the segments. And so I was like, oh, we should listen to it. I'll just play that part. And then, of course, it's like an hour and a half long or whatever it was episode. So I just started from the beginning. Little did I know, I had never thought that he, as a 10-year-old boy, would find the morning show that like funny, and then also find it killing himself laughing funny. I've just figured it, for whatever reason, to be over his head or something like that. It's like adults talking about stuff, so he wouldn't be interested in it. But to my surprise, he was like, yeah, killing himself laughing. Like I've never seen him laughing at something in my life. Like, especially he's pretty reserved to hold it in a bit. He'll be having a great time, but you wouldn't see it on his face kind of stuff. But here he was like, like doubled over laughing at stuff and begging actually to, like, because I had one episode downloaded, and he's like, can we have another one? So we actually listened to like 4.5 or 3.5, I forget, episodes over the course of a 24-hour period in driving the car from where I live to a place called Regina. And it was hilarious. He would, like, even the periodic table of elements battleship, I was going to pause or fast forward to, like, because I knew I'd listened to the episode before. Knew it went on for a little while until somebody found something. He's like, no, don't. I want to listen. I want to hear it.
It's incredibly humbling. First of all, did he get my PayPal payment that I sent? I don't have anything other than to say how incredibly humbling that is to actually hear feedback of someone enjoying our show in a very like not influenced by anything but the fact that it exists kind of way. It's a very strange feeling. It's almost like those anonymous YouTube views where someone I have no idea existed in the world, tuned in, watched something for a little bit, found out that I have a face and a voice and I am a human being, and then tuned out. But hopefully somewhere along the way enjoyed themselves and doubled over laughing. That's a new one on me. And wow.
It really wasn't even any influence, because I'd put it on thinking, assuming he's going to hate it and be like, okay, when is the stupid like little sound that you're going to play or whatever. But to the point now where he's got like, I can say some reference to something. I can't think of anything right now off the top of my head, but like at mealtime or whatever, I've sort of been like, it's little inside jokes that we have now because of his enjoyment of Morning Show. But there was like, if there was ever a movie version of Good Stuff's like launch, even the mind blown thing, I was like, I did that once at supper time, like, or whatever. And he just like started killing himself laughing. If there's ever a movie documentary thing made of Good Stuff, there'll be this moment, because it becomes so successful, there'll be this moment of me sitting in the car with my son being played by, Jake Gyllenhaal or somebody.
Yeah.
Naturally. And where I like put it on and look at over at him, and this light bulb goes off over my head, because it's like, it really was this like, holy cow, like in some weird way, Morning Show is perfect for 10-year-old boy demographic, and girl too, possibly. Like, I'm not, but just in my case, my son anyways, is like a 10-year-old demographic would be perfect for this show. But then, like I was talking to you in our Slack, is like, okay, but how do you market two adult dudes talking about stuff, pitch that as a show that kids might want to listen to or whatever? And I mean, that's where, who knows, Twitch, YouTube, whatever, it might find its way there. But it is kind of like, I was like, maybe I should get him a shirt and start like this grassroots marketing campaign for Morning Show at his school.
Well, it's kind of one of those things. You're right. Like, we do have some sort of weird representation of the demographics of folks who do visit goodstuff.fm through Google Analytics. We can see whatever, 75% of folks identify as male. There's another percentage, much, much smaller than that, that identify as female, according to the internet. The age group is like 30 to 45. And that's like our core demographic. And I think that's probably the core demographic for podcasting, period. I think it's just the tech folks who, one, adopted it early, and two, us? We're like, I'm talking, not only are we talking to future Kyle and future Chris, we're probably talking to people who are freakishly similar to the way that we are.
Which is where, like, being on, say, Morning Show, being on YouTube, or Twitch even, potentially, has the ability to sort of connect into that. Because that, like, I was thinking, my son, there's no way my son would even know how to grab, that podcast exists, A, if I wasn't his dad, and B, that he would figure out how to get to them somehow on a computer or whatever. So I have yet to show him the video versions of the show, which
don't no. there's something about even seeing ourselves on there where I realize, like, I don't, when I'm saying words, even now, because you can see me when I'm saying words, there is a thought process or a like facial expression that I'll go through where I don't mean for you to see what's happening, but it's something I latch onto in the audio world to try and control myself so I don't say the word or I don't say again, or I slow myself down slow enough so that I can stumble through my explanation of what I'm trying to say, that kind of thing. And I do this thing where I grab the mic and I move it around, and thankfully it doesn't change my voice too much. I don't like watching myself on video when it's just me and no one is directing me.
So is that coffee grounds you're shaking?
Coffee beans, actually. Coffee beans? Roasted coffee beans. Let me let me tell you a little bit about my coffee beans, Chris. This is from
Me your coffee beans.
I will show you my coffee. This is from the Craft Coffee Roasters in Brooklyn, New York, produced by, I'm going to butcher this, the Ucro Cooperative from Ethiopia. The variety is Ethiopian heirloom from an elevation of 1900 to 2100 meters above sea level. Through a washed process, you can expect notes of orange marmalade and lemon candy, which will welcome itself into a complex cup that evolves in, as it cools into flavors of passion fruit and creamy tropical fruit flavors of soursop. So enjoy.
Wow. I'm thirsty right now.
It's kind of over the top, right? A little over the top on my coffee description there, but basically what I've got is I believe is a 4-ounce container of whole coffee beans. Where those come from, how you brew them, that's the topic of discussion today.
Right. That's I was going to say maybe this is a segment on are we just living in through a segment on Morning Show of coffee bean description or not is kind of what we could play.
Oh my gosh.
Almost. Save that for Morning Show.
Yeah.
That was another one that my son killed himself laughing was the, I forgot which version of or not. Theme park, not theme park. County fair food or, not,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
Minneapolis.
Yeah. Fried food or not or whatever it was. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, discussing in thinking of coffee as I was sipping coffee this morning and we were trying to decide on a topic and I was like, why don't we talk about what I'm drinking right now? Because I gather maybe that we have differences. I don't think we're probably in the same book. We're not on, I don't use, I'll just declare this. I don't use like Folgers ready-made grounds. My coffee journey is this. Let me just say this. Maybe you can start here. I used to never drink coffee. Then about 10 years ago, which coincided, happens to be around when the time when my son was born, I discovered coffee. Because children have a way of keeping you up at night, if you've not heard. But if you follow any parent on Twitter, they've complained about their kids keeping them up plenty. So I'm sure you're well aware, even if you don't have kids. But so I discovered the miracle of coffee around that time and slowly went from like 7-Eleven or whatever it was, iced coffee, super sweet, iced cappuccino, kind of almost milkshakey type stuff. At Starbucks, I had like peppermint frappuccino or peppermint mocha, I think it was, which is like sugar with some coffee added. And that was my transition from there to like a bunch of sugar in a regular coffee to now drinking like a little bit of cream and a little bit of sugar in coffee. So over a 10-year journey, sort of progressing towards blackness, I guess.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That's fine to say. Yeah. I don't find any issue with that. I guess I'll talk about my coffee journey. Mine was kind of the same in that I did start with gas station coffee. I had two friends in high school and college who worked at a Chevron gas station very near a freeway. And I spent the first 2 years of my college career commuting to work. So my coffee kind of came out of the same necessity as yours did, but instead of a child, I had a commute. And my commute was a good hour and a half, 45 miles or so into the Bay Area from where I lived. And I did need something. I needed anything that would keep me up for an 8 a.m. class because we left around 6:30 in the morning. So we would stop at the local Chevron and we would get a hot like mocha. It was from a machine that when you press the button, it would just go and like spit out the mocha stuff into your cup. And something was grinding in the background. I don't know what it was, but it did fine. It did the job. But that kind of got me going on the like I need caffeine to get the day started.
Do you think I have two different like segues here rabbit trails I want to follow, I guess. First of all, maybe we can come back to this later. How much of your life do you think you've spent commuting? And secondly, the, do you think it's more of a mental peer pressure thing? Like the coffee idea, the idea that coffee is actually helping you, does it start off as like, I see other people, it helping, it air quotes, helping other people. So it's going to help me. And then it just like your brain kind of follows. Cause I often wonder, although let me just correct myself. I've tried recently to eliminate the afternoon coffee. I would have a morning coffee, afternoon coffee. That was all good. Life was good. For whatever reason, I decided maybe it's to help not or it's hindering my sleeping ability at night to have the afternoon coffee. So let's cut that out. By 3:30, 2:30, somewhere in there, I am dying and basically ready to collapse in my chair, which is why today I have a, it's just a McDonald's iced coffee. They're $1 in Canada right now for iced coffee. But yeah, I've made it maybe 2 days in a row with not having an afternoon coffee of some form. So,
well, it's a good question, I think. I don't think there was a peer pressure necessarily because I did, let's say halfway through high school. So during high school, I lived across town. There was a lot of driving in that way. Not so much like a hour long commute, but still sort of, you know, 15, 20 minutes to get across town where we lived to get to school for a 7 a.m. class. I did the whole international baccalaureate thing, which was just a whole mess of classes and early times and preparing for tests that I never did well on, all that kind of stuff. But I would need to be at school super early, and I guess the folks that I commuted with across town who lived near me, we would just carpool. They would go to the Java Bean place near our house, and I figure, okay, I've got a job at a bookstore. I can spare the $2.50 to get this like Snow White beverage that is just chock full of sugar and maybe caffeine? Question mark. I don't know if those first few ones actually did have much of a buzz other than from sugar, and that kept me going long enough. I never really felt like I had to get a 3 p.m. coffee again because I was like, well, I can't carry myself through the rest of the day. I need something else. I need another stimulant. The thing, though, around that same time that made its way into high school culture was energy drinks. And energy drinks were like, that was the hot. That was what people would go to the high school vending machines and be like, I need 3 of these because I'm jacked. I need it now. And our morning Java Bean runs quickly turned into morning going to the convenience store, 7-Eleven type runs. It also resulted in other types of runs afterwards, but
Kenny is on morning, circling back to morning show. That seems to be a ever-present theme. Not just Kenny. I shouldn't single him out, but
Rodericks are the king of diarrhea. Let's just say that. I don't know if John Roderick of the Long Winters is, but the Roderick lineage is just diarrhea ridden. So I guess that's what sort of got me into going to the convenience store and thinking that that was the place that I woke myself up before a drive. And there's still, I think to this day, there's that mental model that has been created for folks where it's like, oh, I'll go to the Starbucks or I'll go to the 7-Eleven or I'll go to the McDonald's or I'll whatever it is. You have this pit stop before you embark in your main journey. It could be even in your house. Like you walk from your bedroom through the house to the coffee counter, you make yourself something, and then you go sit at your desk at home. And it's just this little pit stop that you've got where you can kind of shut your brain off for a second, go on autopilot, get what you need, and get the chemical boost that you crave to go throughout your day.
Yeah. So do you now where you're at with coffee and maybe, I guess, as of recently, whether that's last few years or whatever kind of time frame makes sense. But is it a thing where you can actually, having been a coffee consumer for however long, at least for me, 10 years, sounds like for you even longer, maybe, but give or take. But the idea of like knowing when there's really good coffee, bad coffee, or just okay coffee, my flavor palette is very similar to my beer flavor palette, which I know this is where you and I would just differ. I guess, because for me, it's like there's a whole big circle of the Venn diagram is like good to great coffee or beer. And then there's like, I only know something when it's really bad. But there's no shades in between of that's okay. That's all right. It's good enough, or it's not very good, and I would throw it out. But it's like, it's either like sludge or coffee is kind of like my,
the gradient between going from, this is something I can tolerate to this is something I absolutely would never put in my mouth is like, I'm snapping. It's like instantaneous. Right. I understand that because I think that's my, I don't know if I want to get into it this far, but like, I guess my palate probably as a child or as a young adult was not that discerning, not simply because I didn't know what I was having. I think that is definitely a contributor, but it also has to do a lot with the other things that I am filling my life with, either food wise or culturally, like not experiencing a whole bunch of stuff food or palate wise, did not interest me to go and find like a more lemony coffee. I remember very distinctly going to San Francisco in probably 2010 or so. There was this festival. I went from Southern California up back to my hometown near San Francisco and
Frisco,
had a Frisco, the good old Frisco. Thanks. Right. Thanks. Thank you. They have a coffee place called Ritual Coffee up there that did pour overs, which is just basically they grind the coffee, they pour hot water over it, and it falls into a cup. They were doing that in a little cart. And so I figure, okay, I'll get a little coffee. I tasted it and it was like sucking on a lemon. It was this terrible, terrible acidic cup of coffee that I had never experienced in my life. And I remember very vividly not liking it and thinking that this was a bad cup. This was a very bad cup. But the line was out the proverbial door. The line was real deep, and that's what folks wanted. It was mildly cold that day, so understandably, but even then, there was something about whatever my taste was at the time that just didn't meld well with this third wave of coffee producers and new San Franciscan places that were popping up for making you a hot cup of Joe.
Frisco coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been fidgeting with this whole time. I've got a Tim Hortons coffee sleeve in my hand.
The so 150
my,
even.
Yeah. My Neus Celebrons. It's.
That's Canadian English. Yeah.
Ah, got it. Got you right. My wife recently went to Canada and I was like, you got to go to Tim Hortons. I know that's a place that you can go. So you should.
Yeah, Tim Hortons, it's in the realms of coffee drinkers up here, anyway. Tim's is like marketing-wise, they've established themselves as the preeminent sort of coffee place. In the eyes of most people, it's not like amazing coffee. It's just kind of culturally feels like the thing you do to go grab a Tim Hortons coffee. And then we obviously have Starbucks as well, but it, and there's plenty of people who love Starbucks or addicted to Starbucks happily following that chain as well. So, and they're not really even in competition. I'm sure somewhere they're in competition, but like people don't really snub their nose at either one, unless you're, I guess, on either extreme, I guess, of the Tim Hortons. Tim Hortons would be more economical. Starbucks obviously being a little bit more on the expensive side. But
well, speaking of going out and being economical, I'm assuming that for both of us, there was this moment where we said, going out for this type of thing is not sustainable. I cannot continue to do this. I need to start making it at home. And for me, that's when everything clicked. It became this thing that I could myself put extra time to at home, put extra money towards at home, and kind of make into what I wanted. And for sure, my tastes for coffee and my coffee palate of like liking these different types of flavors on the lemony side or the floral side or whatever, would only develop when I started brewing it and making it for myself. Was it kind of the same for you?
Yeah, a bit. That's where, like, so my method, we did the pot method for, like, just the coffee pot for a while of getting, like, to the point where we would go to wherever, local coffee place and buy ground beans, like, already. So it would not, we wouldn't even grind our own beans. We would just have a bag full of ground beans and go through that. And I'm sure coffee snobs are, like, you know, aghast at the idea that you would expose your coffee to that kind of air pollution and stuff along the way for like a month or 3 weeks or however long the bag would last. And then eventually it was like, I do want something better tasting than this. I can't quite put my finger on what exactly it would be. So you start looking into different methods that you see online. And if, around that time, the Apple nerd community started getting into also being coffee snob community. It's kind of this melding of two worlds. And the AeroPress coffee making device kind of came into fashion. And so 1 year we got a AeroPress, and that to me changed how I make coffee at home, because I can taste the difference between an AeroPress coffee and a pot of coffee or drip coffee or whatever other method that we used to use. Except that, to the point where now it's the breakfast routine in our house with three kids running around, and AeroPress isn't always the most convenient because somebody is clearing dishes or putting dishes away from the dishwasher, and a thing sitting on the counter with hot water dripping slowly that's fairly precariously placed on the counter isn't always the most conducive to a peaceful morning of breakfast and coffee. So being lazy, I guess, one of the two, as of a few months ago, switched to like a 2-cup drip system, just like a plastic filter holder with paper filter inside of it. Mm-hmm. Put the grounds, freshly ground coffee into there. Starbucks grind is what we've been doing lately. Costco big bulk bag and dripping the hot water through there at whatever temperature it happens to be, boiling or near boiling. I don't have a finicky hot water thingy.
Yeah.
Boiler. What are they called? Hot water pot with
boiler. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's you can set the temperature and like.
I'm sitting here leaning back, smacking my boiler, smacking my stomach.
Exactly.
When someone says boiler, all I can think of is like grabbing my stomach, and my belly button is just hanging out.
Must be a Roderick thing.
Yeah. Gosh.
So that's where we're at. I'm at anyways, is like AeroPress if I'm feeling fancy.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's the drip system because it makes a couple cups. I leave it in like a carafe, I guess, or a thing that keeps it warm anyways. Like
it's a coffee pot. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the words, they're escaping me right now, but that's how we do coffee right now anyways. But whenever I do sort of take the extra time to make an AeroPress cup of coffee, I do appreciate it and like it much. It's tastier. I can feel like the flavors are there. It's more worth my time to do it if I take the time, but often it's just not worth the hassle of spillage, I guess.
because folks are going to ask, do you take what's your AeroPress method? Because I think I have seen you tweet about the AeroPress application on iOS. I think I'm almost positive you were the one who turned me on to that. And two, do you dilute?
So I used to use the AeroPress app. I gave up on it after a while. I don't remember why exactly, but I think for me, anytime there's a thing, whether it's, this is why I don't like golf, is if there's too many variables at play, it stresses me out. And so even something as simple as making coffee, so that you've got your coffee beans, the style of coffee beans, the quality, et cetera, that can be one thing at play. How you grind them and to what degree they're ground, that's another variable, obviously. The temperature of your water, the amount of time it sits in the water and doesn't, you know, drips through or not. And then how you drink it, if it's with cream, with sugar, and then how recently after it's been brewed you drink it. That's another variable. There's just a lot of variables going on, and it stresses me out making coffee. And that's why I often prefer the chain stuff, because I know this is a caramel macchiato from Starbucks that tastes more or less the same unless they screw it up every single time. And so and someone else is messing with all the variables. So I can see you have diarrhea.
I know. I want to ding that bell. I want to say yes. Yes, yes, yes. It is the thing we start liking is the consistency, not the flavor, not the meth. I mean, yes, there are parts of it that I can probably attribute to, like, I love slowly sitting in front of my coffee as it bubbles up and blooms and the aroma of coffee fills the air. I like that, but I also, it's the same thing. I found a thing that satisfies my needs, and that is what I stick with. And there is a part of human nature, I think, that just latches onto that and rides it into the sun.
Yeah, until it kills you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Restaurant ordering is similar for me too, where I'm much less reluctant to try something once I've found a thing. And that's maybe getting older too, except no, I was that way when I was younger too. So, but yeah, once I want to know that I can make that thing over and over again. And so that's where with the drip coffee system that I have is I've sort of settled on, let's say if 100% is really good, this is like 70 to 80% of goodness for a coffee. And so it's adequate. It's not amazing. But when I do the AeroPress, there's a lot of like, so I do the inverted usually method. And, but even just what actually changed, actually, now that I think about what changed for the AeroPress for me at home here anyways, is I got a grinder for Christmas, an actual like official grinder. Before that, we just had a manual or like a really crappy grinder anyways. It was electric, but didn't have any sort of adjustments on it. You just kind of pressed it down as long as you wanted to grind. So
like, I think sometimes they're considered spice grinders. And they're, or blade similar grinders. Style. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Blade grinder. Yeah. Whereas now this one actually has like settings for like how fine you want it ground. It's maybe, I don't know if it's a burr grinder or not. I can't remember. That's the one style anyways, but it's definitely more accurate where all the grounds that come out of it are consistent to whatever, however fine or not you want it. And so that's eliminated that variable for me. It's now always
just setting. Set, stay the course. Set,
forget. Yeah, exactly. But the getting the coffee grounds from the container it grinds them into the AeroPress is a pain in the donkey's butt. And so it's much easier just to tip it over into the big round drip system than into the trying to get the grounds always into the AeroPress without making a huge mess all over the counter.
That really is a pain in the butt. I've got I have a package system of AeroPress things here in my hand.
Oh, for the road?
Kind of for the road. It is in a bag, in a gallon-sized bag, because I don't use it that frequently. AeroPress was one of those things that I like to do when I don't have that much coffee, I guess, or when the coffee that my parents have at Christmas time is intolerable and is like, you go to Costco, you have Kirkland brand things. They like to buy the Kirkland brand coffee, not ground. It's still beans, but it is basically like they took charcoal briquettes and they put them through their burr grinder and then milked them. And I don't like it at all. It's quite acidic. So I tend to bring my own little bag of coffee. That's how stinking fussy I am with that kind of thing. But the AeroPress accessories for like getting the coffee into it, you're right, it's not great. It's not really, it depends on what shape your grinder little vessel is where all the beans fall into. But it's still kind of a pain in the butt to get
if into there's a listener this out there vessel. Who solved this problem, like it's static. So like is the issue is like the grounds grow in to the container, the vessel, as it were. And then some percentage of them, 20%, stick to the side of the vessel. It's plastic. And if I wash it consistently, it isn't as bad, but it definitely builds up static electricity or some sort of thing that sticks the grounds to the side of the thing. And it just frustrates me because I lose, you know, whatever, 10% every time I make coffee, I lose some amount of grounds. And so it feels like I'm not getting the full thing.
So what you're saying is we need to ground the grounds.
Right. Maybe if I just grind up the vessel after grind.
Yeah. Take the entire. Yeah.
I'll just drink the grounds.
That's a really just, you know what? We'll just take the beans. We'll crunch the beans in our mouth. We'll drink a hot glass of water. And that's your coffee.
That's how the birds do it, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. The brewing is in your stomach. You don't need to taste it. Yeah. It doesn't. That's it.
So show me your coffee method, Kyle. What's your?
Sure. This is welcome to the first episode of Show Me Your Coffee. with Kyle and Chris. The bag I was shaking before, the one I was mentioning about craft coffee, is actually a company that sells not only these sample-sized bags of coffee, but they sell whole pounds of these coffees, and they kind of aggregate and curate from different parts, different roasters throughout the whole country, put them into a package and ship them to you. The coffee shipment services, I think, which one made the news a while back being acquired by Blue Bottle? Tonks, I believe was the name. They were a coffee subscription service. This is something very similar. So this is a box. This is a typical box of craft coffee that we'll get. It's got 3 4-ounce little baggies like this in here. We just received this one yesterday. That's why it's still in the USPS first class mailbox. It is probably from all parts of the country, all different types, from Ethiopia, Rwanda, Colombia. It could be from any part of the world, which is really exciting. It is very exciting opening a box and just being like, I don't know what's going to be in here. That's kind of how, like, not discerning I am with my coffee, I suppose.
I was gonna say, you don't pick you pick a flavor trail or something, or
you kind of do. Yeah. You give them your taste profile and they try and curate it to what you like. So me, I like fruity and citrusy coffees. My wife less so, but when it comes to these small lot and small amounts of coffees, I like to kind of shake it up, and other than actual literal shaking it up, I like to try a bunch of different stuff. It like you mentioned before, it does follow my path of kind of enjoying these different beers. I'll try one and never, ever, ever have it ever again. And it's more of the completionist gamification side of me where I'm like, I wanted to try this at least once and now it's done and I had it. I feel that way about coffee as well. So I've got craft coffee. We've actually hawked it before on Morning Show, if you've heard me talk about it. We had a deal with Craft Coffee for a little while where they had a coupon code, affiliate links, stuff like that. I've got my micro filters for AeroPress. I've got a bunch saved up here. I don't use them that much. That's why I kind of have that still. I do use I'm not sure what size Chemex this is, but it makes a lot. It makes enough for two to four cups, depending on how deep you want to get and whether or not you're adding cream. I use the Chemex bonded filters, this box right here.
The Chemex system is what?
So the Chemex is kind effectively? Of, it's effectively the pour over system that you have, your little plastic machine where instead of the machine bubbling the water over the grounds that have a filter underneath them, I'm doing the legwork. I'm the machine. I'm the coffee machine. I guess the reason for that is so that I can control the flow and I can control the temperature. I think for the most part, when I make Chemex, it's a weekend. It's something that I kind of covet as a, like, I can relax. I don't have to go to work today. I don't have to really race to go out and face the day. I can kind of sit at home and throw bacon into my oven and enjoy my time. So that's Chemex. It's probably my favorite way of brewing coffee at the moment. I will typically do all of the craft coffee I get into those Chemex brews. I don't ever AeroPress my craft coffee lot. The other side of it is not hot coffee. It's cold brew. I want to know how much you appreciate that I just have all this at the ready. You should see my desk right now.
I'm feeling unprepared, inadequately prepared for a discussion of coffee making. I didn't realize we had props.
You said, show me your coffee.
I didn't realize we were bringing props today to class.
So this is my cold brew vessel. I've made cold brew a couple of different
ways. A lot of vessels.
Yeah, I've made cold brew a couple of different ways over the last few years. This is my most recent adaptation of that idea. I have a Takeya 2-quart sort of plastic container here that I have put a total of, I believe, 14 ounces of ground Brazilian coffee into. I get my coffee, my Brazilian coffee, from a place called Groundworks here in LA. It's shipped Subscribe and Save through Amazon on a once monthly basis, I believe. And that'll show up. I'll grind half of it and put it in this vessel, steep it for 24 to 36 hours. It makes a nice cold brew concentrate that I then will Chemex filter and get just the good stuff .fm from that.
Oh, so that you, yeah, I was going to say, you were waving it around above your whole computer, very trusting that that lid works, first of all.
Yes.
It's making me nervous.
Yes.
But then, so that you then grind, or not grind, you run through a filter or Chemex, whatever the Chemex the thing is.
Yeah, yeah.
To then drink. So do you throw it in the fridge then for a while, or do you just like it room
temperature? Typically, yeah, if I'm going to do it for 36 hours, it'll be in the fridge. I don't keep it out. I did do that for...
Oh, this is just for demonstration purposes.
This is just for demonstration purposes. Right. Yeah, it's typically in the...
For our audio listeners.
The door of the fridge. It will... I don't like running the risk of the hot California weather being a literal hotbed for bacteria growth and stuff like that. So I'd rather not. I want to kind of keep that away as long as possible. It stays in the fridge. It says it'll last 2 weeks. It's never lasted more than 3 days for me. Because I love
it goes bad or
no, because I love cold brew and I will finish that lickety split and then move back to hot coffee.
With whatever comes out of that system, do you add sugar, cream, stuff, or is it like you're just drinking straight?
It's all black,
straight to your veins.
Yeah, no, I do. It's basically intravenous coffee at this point. I if I could pump it directly into my stomach and my bloodstream, I probably would. I guess that would, what would that be? Cocaine?
I think that's a, yeah.
Okay. All right. That's not,
you would know, you're in California. It's not mine.
Yeah. That's not what I want. So for me, your question was how I prepare it, like in my cup, right?
Yeah. When you're actually going to drink it.
Typically I'll just throw it into a glass, the cold brew, especially. I'll start there. Clear glass, no straw, sipping ice, couple of ice cubes, big ice cubes. I don't like crushed ice.
Something about sipping cold coffee doesn't appeal to me, but I guess, no, I do it. I was going to say, like, with ice, I can, yeah.
I'd like you to try my cold brew, Chris. I'd like you to experience, to fully experience what this could be like, because it's kind of chocolatey and it's kind of it's not roasty. That's the thing. It's not burnt. It's not acidic. The cold brewing process is very much about super mellow flavors, almost like chocolate milk. You can mix the cold brew concentrate that comes out of this with milk and it is a great time.
Yeah, that's what I've done. So is that container that you have for your cold brew, is there anything special about that?
No, this is, we just grabbed these off Amazon. They don't have any filters or anything like that. If I open this up, it would just pour onto the floor. There's nothing special about these.
Could you demonstrate?
I could. Fire safe. Where's my fire safe?
Just get everybody inside the fire safe and then pour the coffee.
It's nothing special. It's just a regular coffee vessel. I've tried though a couple of other cold brewing methods. This one is a mesh filter that fits into a mason jar and that I'm holding in front of me. You fill the mesh part with the coffee grounds and then you pour the water through this top area and let it steep for the same amount of time. You can put the top and shake it the same way that I was showing you previously, but then you are supposed to just be able to take this out and have, hey, here's my cold brew magic. Concentrate. Yeah, magic. It adds way too much sediment for my preference. I don't really like the quality that comes of this. So I've been using this mesh filter to strain my bacon fat. That's a whole other show. What else?
The audio only folks are missing out on the video version of the show that we don't do.
Next time, you know what? I will field questions and I will happily show anyone my coffee setup. Actually, you know what I'll do? I will put an image of my coffee setup into the show notes because I have a photo of that. On the like quick and easy side, I'll make this fast. I have two instant coffees that I will rotate in between the cold brew and hot brews. One is called Sudden Coffee. I may have talked about this before on morning show, but this Sudden Coffee is essentially freeze-dried coffee, freeze-dried instant coffee. It is 100% dry in this little test tube, and you mix it with, it says, 8 ounces of cold or hot water. So it'll instantly make an entire cup of coffee for, say, you're camping or, say, you're super lazy. I get this also shipped to me monthly. And it fills those days where I don't want to make coffee. And or I'm not around to make coffee. I've taken the train super early into work and my wife needs coffee. So that's Sudden Coffee. I like these guys a lot. They used to make an Ethiopian bean for this, but I believe this is some sort of blend, some sort of proprietary blend. They're from San Francisco.
You are, up here we have, like, the Starbucks has their Via stuff, which I'm assuming would be, you would stick your nose up at, but similar idea, right?
It is quite literally the same thing. It can be mixed either with hot or cold water. It's probably put together by the same process. All that I believe Sudden Coffee is doing is they're working directly with a couple of coffee producers to make a consistent cup of coffee that people can rely on, the same way that Starbucks does, but for a completely different flavor profile. I'm not a fan of Starbucks coffee, or I would. I mean, that is a far more economical way of getting caffeine into my bloodstream.
Kyle's literally holding the vessel for that with like a button, as if he's like trying to like hit the like you're in the hospital.
They hit you've the got morphine drip. Yeah, come on. Yeah,
please,
come
on. More right now. Why isn't this working?
The other
nurse.
The other instant coffee powder that I have is the Four Sigmatic mushroom coffee. So this is kind of on the like health kick. I would not be surprised if this is sold at goop.com sort of type thing. This mushroom coffee is a mixture of cordyceps and changa mushrooms with instant coffee powder. What it tries to promote, I guess, is like energy and vitality and other non-scientifically proven things. But it does make the same amount of coffee that the Sudden Coffee makes, but this is on subscribe and save through Amazon. So it tends to make its way into our coffee rotation far more frequently than the Sudden Coffee does. Other than that, I do like the mushroom coffee in particular. I do like the flavor and consistency of it because it's not really like a regular black cup of coffee. It's almost like you mixed a tiny bit of soy milk into it or a little bit of cream, a bit more mouthfeel to this cup of coffee. That's, to be quite honest, I think that's my entire coffee setup.
That's it, hey?
I've got a burr grinder. I've got that's it. I've got a burr grinder. I've got a hot water kettle where I control the temperature. It's one of those things that is a joy in my life to focus on for more time than is probably necessary, but I will enjoy for the time being until I can't anymore. Until there are little ones also running around in my life, and I need to get a regular coffee brewer.
Yeah, which is not to say that kids destroy coffee, but the idea of when you've got three people shouting, "Where's my toast?" or "Give me yogurt." stuff, and you forget, if you want to be finicky about your AeroPress or whatever method you're making your coffee, you don't have, it's a matter of seconds generally. It's not like it sits for minutes and minutes at a time. And so that's where you cannot sort of, if you want to be, again, if you're worried about the variable of whatever each step along the way, you can't lose focus from finishing what you start when you want to make coffee, I guess, especially with something like an AeroPress or whatever. Because it is a matter of like 10 seconds, then do a pour over. Stir for 30 seconds. And then, the whole thing only takes a couple minutes, so it's not that big a deal, but yeah.
What's the thing about the pour overs and Chemex? I feel like it's a little more forgiving in that way, where I can like, oh, okay, the water's off the boil, or whatever, 205. And so I'll let it hang out for a bit. I don't need to pour it immediately. I can feed the cat. I can do other things. The most forgiving, though, to me is this cold brew. I can go, 12 hours on either side on when I brew this, when I actually filter it out, and it can be consumed whenever and just kind of like re-iced. And it doesn't really lose much of its oomph. It still's got the punch I need. So that is absolutely my preferred method because it does have so much leeway.
So I know we're probably pushing the time limit here, but like sell me on the idea of why you need a kettle with precise temperature water.
For me,
did you blind taste test it, do you think?
I could, well, not with the same beans. I probably could not with the same beans. I would more than likely think it's fine. The thing I like about my temperature controlled kettle is I can get it up to temperature and brew the beans, get that first hit of hot water at my 205 degrees Fahrenheit. And then as the kettle cools, the beans are cooling as well. And then it's also cooling down in this bottom part of the vessel. And for consistency's sake, by the time it gets from this bottom part into my room temperature ceramic mug, it's the exact right temperature for me to directly put in my mouth. So it's kind of not a like, I know that this is the way that it's supposed to be done. It is just what is the quickest way I can have both my pour over and get it in my face immediately.
So are you a sipper like for over the course of a couple hours, or you consume the coffee pretty quickly or less?
Yeah. 15 minutes or less, 10 minutes or less, at least for that first cup.
Yeah. I'm like not an iced coffee cup, I guess, but like I can't stand having an open lid coffee, like a mug.
Yep.
And so I use the travel mug or some sort of mug with a lid, which the lid itself adds taste, adds a flavor that actually, when I go back to not having a lid on it, is noticeably there. And actually I don't like it, but
interesting.
And like, so a mug without a lid, the coffee tastes much better through, 'cause you just get that plasticky flavor, or whatever kind of ceramic or whatever lid style it is, I guess, but there's a bit of that to it. But I much prefer having a coffee that takes me, I don't know, probably hour to hour and a half to drink rather than finish it off in 15 minutes. Because to me, half of it is the taste, but also the other half is just kind of the warm beverage sitting there. Maybe it's Canada, I don't know. But like the necessity to survive winter is just sipping it over a long period of time. And so that's where some of the more finicky coffee methods too produce less, like more of an espresso style or whatever kind of smaller amount of coffee.
Right.
Even though the caffeine hit is there, it's the enjoyment for me is not there in terms of how I would consume that, I guess. So
yeah. And well, obviously with an open cup of coffee too, that's cooling off way, way, way faster. So it conjures up that terrible feeling of sipping on either a cold cup of coffee or like one that you accidentally left on your desk. And then you go and you reach for it and there is mold floating in it, but you took a sip anyway, unfortunately.
I don't actually mind cold coffee in a cup, actually, now that I think about it. Maybe for the summer I should start actually doing the open. The other part of it actually is not just anything else, but just worrying that I'm going to spill it on my desk. So,
right.
Not that I'm exceptionally clumsy, but there's just, I don't have a super clean desk. And so like placing it down, and I accidentally put half of it on a sticky pad of notes or whatever, and then I've got coffee everywhere. And yeah, as you know, computer equipment, audio gear tends to be a little less forgiving to
cars, phone. I mean, anything, pretty much everything is unforgiving at this point. If you've got a hot beverage laying around your lap, even, I mean, that's probably the worst scenario, but you can't go wrong with putting it into a vessel that keeps it hot for long. It's not like it's insulated to the point where you can plug it in with USB and keep it warm or anything.
No.
So it's, I think it's fine. It's not a big deal. There is, we've probably ruined quite a few of those to-go containers with sugar or cream or whatever, adding it to the coffee, and then the inside of your stainless steel container just gets this awful tinge of kind of brownish coffee and tea, and it's a bad look. It's a really bad look. But we have way too many mugs. Here's something. Maybe I'll wrap up with this. All right. Hot beverage, small little mug with a handle. Would you ever drink a cold beverage from an opaque mug with a handle? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I even drinking water from like a coffee mug is like, it feels just all kinds of wrong to me. And so if you're camping and stuff, that's sometimes what you just have to do.
Okay.
But it conjures up. Yeah. It just looks like,
also when you're camping, you kind of have to like shit in the middle of nowhere and wipe your, and not have anything to wipe your butt with. So there's that.
I can only imagine the Roderick family camping.
Yeah. Oh boy.